As we announced this morning,
we want to look at the subject of racism. And I wanted to, from time to time, we talk about current events and we talk about things that are going on in our world. And I want us to be helped with God's Word to be able to take this message to others. If this topic comes up among our young people in the school setting, I would like for them to have something to say. If it comes up at work or if it comes up in our associations with others, I want us to have something to say, not only of value, but of truth as it comes from the Word of God. We don't simply want to share our opinions or what we think or what we feel. So because among some it is a current topic and it is something that you might hear if you turn on the news, the national news, you hear it more, I think, than the local news coming out of Nashville. But any sort of news program that is dealing with the nation as a whole, you'll hear this talking point come up a lot. And so I wanted to spend some time this evening looking at that. And I appreciate our time together this evening. And the songs really go along well with what we're going to be talking about later in the lesson, that love really will... true Bible love will dispel any type of prejudice or racism. So let's look at this topic this evening. And in our scripture reading, we're going to come back to Acts 17 later. We need to be reminded that we all come from the same Adam and Eve. Everybody comes from the same original couple. He made of one, Adam and Eve, many people, many nations. And so that's something that we need to certainly remember. I guess you could say fortunate, those of us who are a little bit younger, were born in a time where our nation had already gone through the segregationist divide and was slowly implementing laws to come back together as a people. So I did not experience as much as some of you who are older than I, the racism and the segregation of an earlier time period, and that's a good thing. We've made a lot of strides in this nation, but I still think that there is room to go and grow in that same area. I want to begin by looking at a few things by way of introduction. A lot of times we frame the racist debate as far as a debate between blacks and whites. A person can be a racist and be any color. In our country, it has typically been described as between blacks and whites, but it could be any color. There are people around the world that are racist, and it doesn't have anything to do with black or white. There are people who are, over in the UK, there are Irish and Scottish and English that have racial tendencies among themselves. They don't like each other. There are Asian groups that don't like each other. So, it can be anyone. I wanted to say that at the very beginning. And I also wanted to say, because I have some slides here in just a minute where I talk about what racism is not, I wanted to be very clear at the beginning that there are actual cases today of racism. There are people who are racist. There are people who do things toward others that are wrong based upon their skin color. It actually happens. And so, it is real. But at the same time, there are things being said today that are misleading, and I want to look at those as well. The second thing that I would say is that a person can be a racist without being a member of any particular racist organization. We don't have to carry a swastika or burn a cross or wear a white hood or be a member of some modern-day organization that is racist to be racist. We can have those tendencies and those attitudes and those words and those actions and not be a member, a card-carrying member of any official group. And unfortunately, members of the church can be racist in their attitude. I was speaking to someone recently about this topic, and it was a preacher who was white and he was married to a black woman. And he said that the racism that he has received in his lifetime didn't come from people in the world. It came from other members of the church. He had been asked to leave churches over it. He had gospel meetings canceled over it. He was fired one time over it. He told me one time that he was calling an elder in another church, and they were talking about him coming to do some preaching there. And he said, "Now you realize that I'm in a mixed marriage." And the elder said, "Oh, that's fine. What, is she like Asian or something?" And he said, "No, she's black." "Oh, well then we can't have you come." So, brethren can have racist attitudes. In a well-known paper that has circulated among brethren in the past called The Gospel Guardian, in the late 1960s and early 1970s, and I have a file, if you want these copies of these articles to read more, you're welcome to them, there were a handful of preachers or brethren who wrote articles saying that all mankind are equal. But, and then after the but, that was the problem. They said, we need to remain separate. Blacks do not need to mix with whites. God makes us all the same in value, but we need to stay separate. And that was being advocated on the pages of the Gospel Guardian. So, this lesson is for all of us, and it's good for each generation to be reminded of what the Bible says about these matters. Racism is not when a police officer of one color makes an arrest of someone of another color. I've heard it described that, they're racist. No, the officer is upholding the law. It doesn't matter the color of the officer. It doesn't matter the color of the person that he or she is arresting. It's simply a principle of upholding the law. And when we lose our rule of law in this country, and I see evidence of slowly eroding in different places, we're going to be in big trouble. When we lose the rule of law in our home, in the church, and in our nation, we're going to be in big trouble. But that's not racism. Now, there could be racist police officers, absolutely. But that alone right there is not racism. When an employer of one color hires someone of the same color based on qualification or merit-based, that's not racism. An employer wants to pick someone who has the right kind of qualifications. Can they do this job? That qualification may involve a secondary education. It may involve technical training. It may involve this kind of experience. And so I'm looking just simply on qualification. But sometimes you'll see where someone is called racist for doing that particular thing, and that's not racism. I've heard people called racist this way. When a Christian says that a non-Christian, take a Muslim for example, or Hindu or Buddhist, that they must convert to Jesus Christ in order to be saved, that's not racism. Or that homosexuality, that person must repent in order to be saved, that's not racism, and I've heard it framed that way. It's not. We're not racist. We're not Islamophobic or homophobic. We're taking the gospel and we're saying what the gospel says. And that means we need to change to come to Jesus Christ. Just like the officer is simply upholding the law. That's all they're doing. When a person disagrees politically with another person about policies involving race, that's not racism. And I hear that all the time today. Well, this particular person disagrees with me. They're a racist. Yeah. We need to be able in this country, whether it's politically, which is not the place of the pulpit, so I'm not going to get into that, but whether it's politically or religiously, we need to be able to have the ability to speak and speak our views. And when somebody disagrees with us, let's disagree with them in a kind way. But don't call them racist. When a person demands that U.S. law be upheld with regard to legal immigration, they're not racist. They're upholding the law. That's all they're doing. Now, you can have racist ICE agents. You can have racist law enforcement. That's a fact. You could have that, for example. But when good people do their job in those areas, they're upholding the law. They're not racist. So having sort of set the stage for the current way in which things are being framed and discussed today, we will eventually here in just a moment get into the Bible and look at what God says about this matter. What's happening, brethren and friends, today is that a lot of people are using the word racist when a person is not actually that. And so I ask the question as we begin this evening, what happens when we go around using the word racist all the time when a person is not actually engaged in that? What happens? Well, let's look at a few things. When we use the word for everybody, everybody's a racist. Then number one, the word becomes watered down and meaningless. What if I called everybody here this evening a murderer? Everybody in Clarksville is a murderer. When they have not gone out and killed somebody, what if I call everybody a rapist and they have not actually engaged in that sexual assault? I just throw that word out there. Everybody's this, everybody's this. It makes that word meaningless. Just stop and think about it. And it's overused, it's watered down, it's meaningless, it's just something that we throw out there to try to win an argument. We need to stop doing that. If there is that actually going on and it can be demonstrated, then call it what it is and call it out and expose it. But don't just simply be using the word to be using the word. And here's what happens. The person who suffers at the hands of a true racist is insulted. And not only that, but the vile actions of a true racist are eventually downplayed and ignored. It's like the little boy who cried wolf. Remember that? The little Aesop's fable story? Hey, wolf, wolf, and the townspeople come out and there's no wolf. And he cries it again. And the townspeople come out to help him and there's no wolf. And then when there really is a wolf, they don't come out anymore. And so we keep using words over and over again when it's not actually the case. People just after a while stop listening, and that's what's sad. Because there actually are cases where people suffer at the hands of individuals, and it's wrong. But we've cried it so much, we've watered it down, that people don't want to listen anymore. So we need to be careful about that. Racism, by dictionary definition, is the belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. I'll just boil that down. The belief that one race is superior to another. That's really what it boils down to. And that's not biblical. That's a figment of man's imagination. It's been around a long time. It's gained traction in a lot of areas. People believe that, but it's not true. No one is more superior than anyone else, based upon their skin color or their ethnicity or where they come from. Acts chapter 17, God made of one many nations. Adam and Eve were the first original pair who eventually, by giving birth, Cain and Abel, and going on down through there, all people come from one original pair. And we need to remember that. So let's look this evening at the causes of racism. First of all, and I've sort of put these in sort of a linear progression where one leads to the other, I would say that, like a lot of things in life, things begin with ignorance. And when we don't understand truth, then we start fearing something. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 15. There have been two ways in which racism in this nation, at least, have been advanced. One is misusing Scripture, and two is science. Let's look at Scripture first. Some have said that, turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, they have said that the mark on Cain was black skin. So Cain kills his brother Abel, and then God punishes him. Look at Genesis 4:11. And now cursed art thou from the ground which has opened up its mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto Jehovah, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from all thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth, and it will come to pass that whosoever findeth me will slay me. And Jehovah said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Jehovah appointed a sign for Cain, lest any finding him should smite him. And some say, well, that's black skin. Well, that's completely made up. The second thing that I would say about that is, Cain already got his punishment. His punishment was that the ground would not yield fruit, verse 12, and that he would be a wanderer. And notice in verse 13, Cain already understands that he's been punished by God. My punishment is greater than I can bear. The mark was not a punishment. He had already gotten his punishment. The mark was to say to people, don't do more than what I've already done to Cain. I have punished him. Don't go kill him. So he was given some sort of a mark or sign, which we do not know what it was. It was not black skin. Here's another popular one. Turn a couple of chapters over to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis 9, 25. Some have said that the curse of Ham was black skin. This is the popular one. Some of you may remember the movie that came out in 1988 called Mississippi Burning. This was a movie that was to depict or reenact where a couple of white civil rights workers in 1964 southern Mississippi were killed along with a black boy. And these two investigators go down there to look at that. And so Gene Hackman plays the part of one and Willem Dafoe plays the part of the other. And they get down there and they're interviewing different people about this murder, and they interview a character called Mrs. Pell. She's the white wife of a white sheriff's deputy who is a member of the Klan. And she's being interviewed privately in her home, and she says this: it's ugly. This whole thing is so ugly. Have you any idea what it's like to live with all this? People look at us and only see bigots and racists. Hatred isn't something you're born with. It gets taught. At school, they said segregation is what is said in the Bible. Genesis 9, verse 27. At age 7 of age, you get told it enough times, you believe it. You believe the hatred, you live it, you breathe it, you marry it. And the point of that is that there were people at that time who were saying, the Bible teaches this, the Bible teaches this. And so you start believing it, and Genesis 9:27 was a main one that was used. Of course, we're familiar with this. When verse 24, when Noah awoke from his drunkenness and from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done unto him, and he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be Jehovah, the son of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. God enlarged Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years and so forth. Because Ham would give birth to Canaan and those, they said in verse 25, that the curse of Canaan was black skin. And then the second thing they said was, verse 26, that they would be servants, and so that justifies slavery. So black slaves. This is a prophetic statement. Noah is prophetically saying what's going to happen in the future to the descendants of his three sons. And like Genesis chapter 4, it's reading into the text to say that it's black skin. The curse was not black skin. And there's a lot of other things that could be said about that. The second way that racism down through time has been justified, not only through Scripture, and you'll also see on the PowerPoint there, Genesis 10 and Genesis 11, some got the crazy idea that in Genesis chapter 11, when God separated everybody at the Tower of Babel, He was trying to separate whites from blacks. Read the text again. Their problem is not integration. Their problem, as the Klan, for example, would say, these people shouldn't be integrating and mixing. We've got to separate them. Their problem was their pride. Let us build this tower to heaven that we might make a name for ourselves. That's their problem. But some use the Tower of Babel to justify segregation. But let's move on. In the mid-1800s, a lot of people used science to justify racism. This came with the publication of The Origin of the Species in 1859 with Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin was not just about studying insects and birds and animals. Charles Darwin also put into his book and into his ideas that people of one color were more superior to people of another color. He worked that in. And that some have evolved to be more superior than others. Here's a quotation from Thomas Huxley. He was Darwin's disciple. Some have called him Darwin's bulldog, who went about proclaiming Darwin's thoughts. He said this in 1872, or he wrote this. No rational man, cognizant of the facts, believes that the average Negro is the equal, still less the superior, of the white man. It is simply incredible to think that. He will be able to complete successfully with his bigger-brained and smaller-jawed rival in a contest which is to be carried on by thoughts and not by bites. One should not believe that the average Negro is the equal, still less the superior, of the white man. So thanks to those who twisted Scripture and to those who promoted the theory of evolution and the wrong ideas there, it's no surprise that 50, 75 years later, you have in this country the divide that we had in the 1950s and 60s and so forth. Then ignorance and fear leads to pride and prejudice. You just start feeling like you're better than others, based upon a lie, based upon ignorance. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We think more highly than we ought to think, Galatians 6:3. We think that we're better than others. And then that leads to hatred. So based upon ignorance, something that's not true, then we start fearing other people. They're less intelligent than we are. We're superior than they are. Then that feeds our pride. Then that feeds hatred. We start hating the person. All of these passages speak about loving others. We're to love our enemy, not hate them. Hatred, Galatians 5, 19 and 20, is a work of the flesh. Hatred and malice, Ephesians 4, 31. All of these passages talk about hating. The first John passage is hating our brother. So now you have hatred. And by the way, you're not born that way. You're not born to hate. I'm not born to hate. You're taught that. Your parents teach you that. And the friends that come over to the house and the aunts and uncles, and it's an environment. You're not born to hate other people. It's taught. And so many were taught that from their youth up. And then that led to stereotyping individuals. You haven't even talked with anybody, but you know all about them. Do you remember in John chapter 1 and verse 46 when Philip is trying to get Nathanael to come see Jesus? Come see Jesus. And Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I've never talked with the man. I've never been around the man, but I know that nothing good can come out of Nazareth. We stereotype. And maybe we need to be careful about that today. Have we ever caught ourselves saying something about someone else? We've never talked with them. We've never met them. We've never been around them. Well, they're lazy. They're dirty. They're unintelligent.
they're this, they're that. We haven't even talked with them, and maybe we've made a judgment in advance by just looking at them. Maybe we need to be careful about that as well.
But look at John 1:46. How do you dispel stereotyping? What's the solution to that? What did Philip say? How did he answer that? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What did Philip say? Do you remember John 1:46? Real simple answer. What? Come and see. Truth will always dispel stereotyping and ignorance and these other kinds of things. Just come and see. Look at the facts. Talk to the man.
And that's good for us today. Facts. Get the facts on something before we are prejudiced, prejudged. We have our minds made up. Well, he's this or she's that. Well, have you talked with him? No, but I believe that that's the way they are.
Come and see. Truth. If we really want truth, if we really want an attitude toward another person that is based upon truth, then we'll come and see. Many people don't want that. My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Then that led to the ignorance leading to the pride, leading to the hatred, leading to the stereotyping. Then we cannot mix and mingle with somebody of another color. And some use the Bible to justify that. And what they were doing was they were, number one, using Old Testament passages that we're not under today. And number two, they're using Old Testament passages that were focusing on not marrying a Canaanite because of religious purposes. They're going to lead us into idolatry, not because of the color of their skin. So various Old Testament passages were used to say you can't marry someone of a different race. Those passages were not repeated in the New Testament. We're not under that law today. I put Matthew 1:5 here. Ruth. Ruth was a what? A Moabitess. She wasn't an Israelite. She's in the lineage of Christ. Something interesting to think about. So we can't marry them. We can't have any interaction with them. And that's what the brethren were saying that wrote those Gospel Guardian articles. They made it very clear that God makes us all equal, but they said equal but what? Remember the statement? Equal but separate. Let the blacks have the black congregation, let the whites have the white congregation. Let's just stay apart. And they also said, don't marry, don't worship with them, don't be around them. Oh, but we're all equal. They made it very clear because they know that we're all made in the image of God. But they were advocating segregation. Stay away from these people. And then, of course, it led to outright segregation, keeping people separate, discrimination, slavery, violence. And in the New Testament, you see some of this with regard to Jews and Gentiles. Remember in John chapter 4, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Those dirty Samaritans. Those half-breed dirty Samaritans that came from 2 Kings 17. We don't want to have anything to do with them. John 4, verse 4. And following. Various passages in John, different passages in Galatians, Acts, James. Turn with me to James chapter 2. It had gotten into the church. Now this particular matter in the church, turn with me to James 2, it didn't have to do with the color of the skin, but it had to do with economic prejudice. Here's a rich-poor situation. But in my mind, prejudice is the same, whether it's based upon skin color or based upon economics. It's all wrong. And to see this in the church is disappointing, and that's why James dealt with it. In James chapter 2, he talks about in verse 2, a man that comes in with a gold ring and fine clothing, and then there comes in a poor man in vile clothing. And you have regard to him that wears the fine clothing, and you say, sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, stand there or sit under my footstool. That's like the old sit in the back of the bus situation, right? Now look at what James says here. Verse 4, do you not make distinctions among yourselves? segregation, discrimination, separating, distinction, instead of all being one. Do you not make distinctions among yourselves and become judges? And then underscore this in your Bible. With evil thoughts. It's evil. It's not just, well, that's the way I was raised. No, it's evil. And then, if it escalates even farther, then you've got killing. So you've got genocide. The Egyptians wanted to kill a bunch of male babies in Exodus 1, and Moses is saved. Esther, her people are about to get wiped out by evil Haman, and they have to defend themselves. The 6 million Jews of the Jewish Holocaust, South African apartheid, ethnic cleansing in Croatia, and on and on and on. We're going to try to get rid of a people that we don't like, that are below us and inferior to us. So we see that even in the world today. So how do we prevent it? We've got to know the truth on some matters. First of all, we have to know that all people, everyone sitting in this room in Clarksville, in Tennessee, the United States, and all around the world, were all from one original couple, Adam and Eve. There is one human race. Not different races of people. One race. One human race. And we are all made in the image of God. Every last one of us. Well, somebody says, well, what about skin color? Well, what about it? Melanin is the, we call it in our cells, the ability for skin to be white down to a dark color, melanin. God puts in our body the ability for variety. In the DNA, in the cells, there can be a variety. There can be a variety of skin color. We're made that way. There can be a variety of height and weight. There can be a variety of shape of our eyes. There can be a variety in our hair color, in a variety of all of our features. That's within the ability of the human body to reproduce and have that variety and stay within the human race. That's why we have a variety of flowers. That's why we have a variety of birds. God makes something, and there can be a large variety within what He makes. And that's exactly what the human race is. So skin color and eye shape and height and weight and a bunch of other physical characteristics are simply the physical ability of the human body to change and adapt and modify. And we get all of these different things. It has nothing to do with inherent worth or value. And don't let anybody turn it into that. We're all made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And we need to know that God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be. Peter realized this when he would not go to the Gentiles, and he was told that he needed to go preach to the Gentiles, and a vision convinced him of that. And look at what he says in verse 24, of a truth. Underscore that in your Bible. We want lives based upon truth. Come and see, Philip says, of a truth. Let's go by what's true, not what people say about the Bible or what evolution claimed, but of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be. Look at it. In every nation, everyone, not just certain ones, he that fears Him and works righteousness is acceptable to Him. And that brings me to my next point. We all come from the same original couple, Adam and Eve. Number two, God is no respecter of persons, neither should we be. And God saves all people the same way. And that is through belief in Jesus Christ and obedience to the gospel, which includes being baptized into Christ. In the New Testament, there are a number of passages that say, whosoever does this and whosoever does that. We're all the same value, but we're also to be one in Christ. And God is concerned about the inward man, not the outward skin color of somebody. If we learned anything from 1 Samuel 16:7 and David, we should learn that. That God does not look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. Jesus says it's the heart that we need to be considering in Mark 7. And Romans 2, 28 and 29, it's not the outward Jew, but the one inwardly with the Spirit. We've been taught to look at the outward skin of somebody and then make a prejudiced thought about that. We must have love and good deeds for all people, regardless of their color. And this is good for us at work tomorrow, when we go to work tomorrow. And that person that's different than us, physically, treat them with love and good deeds. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And our neighbor is the one of any color, any shape, any size, any shape of eye, any hair color. Love your neighbor as yourself. We had a lesson on that recently. And we need to know that we can have true unity and equality in Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians 2 and verse 16. And this is the point that bothers me with regard to some of our brethren back in the 1960s. Why in the world are you encouraging brethren to stay separate? It was the climate that they were in. It was the culture that they were in, and they were being affected by it. Paul writes passages of Scripture where he's trying to bring Jews and Gentiles together. And you have some brethren reading the exact same passages saying, well, we need to stay separate. You worship in the black church across town and we'll worship in the white church. Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 15, speaking of Jews and Gentiles, that he, Christ, might create in himself of the two one new man, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you that were afar off, and peace to them that were near. For through him we both have our access, not just certain ones, but we both have our access in one Spirit unto the Father. And he talks about being fellow citizens and so forth in the verses that follow. One, the word one is used a lot. True Christians are colorblind. We're not going to allow someone to tell us to stay separate based upon skin color. Not only are we one in Christ, but we're to worship together. And that's where some of our brethren missed it. When my father passed away back in April, there were some black members of the church that came and they were crying, they were emotional. Because when we moved to Ohio in 1968, Dad worked with the black congregation in town to where blacks and whites would worship together. And he would go preach for them when other white preachers wouldn't and things like that. And they came to his funeral and said, your dad did us a great service back in those days in unifying us. And that congregation is still in existence today. And some of those same members were still there and they came to his funeral. Dad worked with Hispanics, with blacks, with everybody. That's how we were raised. That's how we need to raise our children. As we close, racism in and out of the Lord's church will be solved by transforming one's mind to the will of God in Scripture. We don't need civil policies. Here's the solution right here. You don't need a czar on racism. You don't need a special counsel or a special office. You don't need any taxpayers' money wasted on that type of thing. You don't need government agencies. What you need is us to open our Bible, read it, believe it, and obey it. That'll solve it. Just like that. Sometimes I hear about forced integration, and that's what was going on in the days of some of you here this evening. You remember that forced integration? Really? You have to be forced? Yeah. When you're living your life based upon human wisdom, and you don't want something, you've got to be forced by the government to do it. We're not forced. Nobody has to force us to love our neighbor. We follow God's word. What a shame that somebody has to be forced to treat somebody else nicely. And yet, that's what goes on. That was one of the roles of the 101st Airborne, was to go to the southern states and help them enforce desegregation. That was one of their roles, I'm told. When we love God and love His Word, we don't have to be forced to do anything by the outside. We're going to obey. God will not judge us on the color of our skin, but on the content of our character. Do you remember the famous "I Have a Dream" speech, Martin Luther King Jr.? I certainly would not uphold everything that he did in his personal life. But he said something there that does mean a lot, that he had a dream for his girls, that they would grow up in a country where they would be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And there's actually a lot of truth to that. That in the judgment day, in Romans chapter 2, 6 through 11, if you look there, there's nothing there about skin color. It's about whether or not we have obeyed the gospel and how we're living thereafter. And whether or not we've obeyed the truth, that's what God is going to be looking at. And when we look at verse 6, render to every man according to his skin color? No, according to his works. That's what God's looking for. So this week, let's go out and have that character, that Christian character that He's looking for. Here is the solution to all racism. It might appear simplistic, but I honestly believe it. Get a hold of a Bible, open it up, read it, and obey it, and you'll solve racism. And that's what I would encourage us today. I appreciate your time and attention this evening to talk about a topic that may come up in various aspects of your life, and I hope that we have some biblical truths now that we can share with others. And what a great place that we can be here at Warfield Boulevard, to come together and truly be one. Truly be one in Christ. And let's work to help others come and be a part of that spiritual family. If you need to begin your coming to Christ this evening, we would encourage you to do that. If you need to come back to Christ in some way. And for all of my brethren, I'm glad that I'm surrounded by brethren who love each other regardless of what we look like, and that we can work and worship together and help others be saved. Let's continue and keep doing that in the future as we've been doing in the past. If you're subject in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?